This is CliffCentral.com.
This show contains adult content. If you find it offensive, please go to the CliffCentral.com website where there's a show for you.
CliffCentral.com. This is Friday morning. This is Sex Talk with John T. Searle and some really cool and beautiful people in the studio with me this morning. Kellen and Arnay, who have come to share their story.
Thank you for having us.
And that's really, really awesome. So these guys have been on a journey of healing and growth and learning. And the beautiful thing about this is firstly being willing to share your story and being so vulnerable with that, but also showing people what's possible, how you can heal, you can change. And every time we share a story like this, every time we write an article, we get feedback from a workshop, from experiences, just makes it possible for somebody else and opens the door. And that's beautiful. So thank you. For sharing with us. That really is awesome. But let's see if anybody is smart this morning.
Ninja Sex, Chocolate Starfish, Twitter Bag, Calypagium.
Today's dirty dictionary word is
Gold Star.
Ooh.
I know a lot of things I've never heard of that.
Dirty dictionary word.
Gold star. If you know what a gold star is, WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. If you have any questions, WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. If you have any comments, WhatsApp us on 079-748-2090. You want to say anything, WhatsApp us. Very cool. What's a gold star? Any idea?
Well, I know golden shower and I know a chocolate starfish, so I think it's a combination between the two, maybe.
Wow, that's
he's weird.
Sure, I like that. That's an amazing reach. That is really, really cool.
No. I immediately thought like nipple caps.
What?
Gold star.
Nipple caps.
It's gold star.
Nipple caps.
I'm not familiar with this jargon.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, I like that. It's so far away from what it is, but that makes me chuckle. Oh, yes. It really makes me chuckle.
Again, people do.
Absolutely. I wonder what you would actually call that, like anal urination. What would that, what's the fetish for that?
Golden douche, no.
No. That's the other entrance?
Yeah.
Huh. That would be an interesting one. So we're going to have to look that up. But if you know what anal urination is, message us. I'd love to find out. Anybody listening? That would be a really interesting one. Okay, you can come back.
Whoa.
You can come back because that's a really interesting one.
Yeah.
So at the end of the show, we will tell you what...
What it is.
A gold star.
I'm curious now.
I'm also curious. Yeah.
Okay.
Anticipation.
Absolutely. Okay. So what prompted you guys to begin a journey of healing and growth?
Well, we are two people from widely different backgrounds when it comes to sex
like
and sexuality.
Super different.
Okay.
It's like chalk and cheese.
Well, I was one of the first generation that basically got introduced to internet porn.
Okay.
So from about the age of 15 to...
No, but your dad was also...
Yeah, my dad was also quite big into the hardcore porn scene. Okay. Like, I remember when I was 6 years old, I discovered his Hustlers under my parents' bed trying to get the cat out. And I was blown away, like, seeing this as a child, not even knowing what an erection is, then seeing an erection inside a vagina, it literally looks like the intestines are coming out. So I was, like, completely blown away. And,
I come from, like, a...
Kellen comes,
Like, I come from a very conservative background where everything was, like, taught to me in a Christian way.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was, you don't talk about your sexuality, like, at all. It's not something that you talked about, or even your spirituality was formed around the Christian belief system and what your mom and dad told you. And so it was very, a very traditional sort of background. And then I met this guy.
So we were two extremes trying to like find a middle ground.
Yeah.
And for that to happen, both of us needed to come to the realization that I'm wrong and also she's wrong. Yeah. So what is right? Okay. And that is why we started this whole exploration.
Yeah. And it, like, we weren't actually looking for, we weren't thinking, oh, we're going to find like our spiritual, or we weren't thinking our spiritual journey is going
to
take us on
a sexual route.
And which actually surprised me, because I found a lot of sort of myself and like coming back to myself and like realizing who I really am and figuring that out for myself through this sexual experience and through this journey that we've been going on. And it was really like a bit of a peeling all the layers back and discovering what I actually thought of myself, and not what, and not allowing what my parents had told me, or what school had taught me, or what society had taught me.
Even what I told you.
Yeah, or even what Anne, my partner, had told me about who I am as a woman, or what my sexuality is as a person or a woman or whatever. So yeah, so like, it's been a really amazing journey.
That's something that always fascinates me, that everybody who does a journey at some point says they're amazed at how much it's about sex and how little it has to do with sex.
Exactly.
And for me, the big thing is that it brings the understanding that our sexuality is connected to every single part of who we are, and every part of who we are is connected to our sexuality. Like this beautiful organic relationship. And because we've been taught to put sex in this very separate little box that's not part of us, you know, we take it out under very specific circumstances, very specific contexts.
And it's always hidden away. It's always secret. Like, it's just this huge taboo. And why? Like, no one can explain to me why sexuality is a taboo. Like, it's not.
I had an understanding this week that I'll share with you a little bit later. It was actually, I was writing something
yesterday.
Yeah, I haven't been able to write for a while. In the last 2 weeks, I've actually been writing a lot.
Awesome.
And it, while I was writing a piece, it came to me in a different way of understanding. But essentially, we put it in this separate little box, and our genitals are totally separate. They're not integrated into who we are. And there's so much guilt and shame and embarrassment about that.
Yeah. And that's actually funny. I was actually telling Anna the other day that we actually have our first sexual experience when we're young, when we're really, really young, because we're, when we're about 6 or 7, we're then getting introduced to our genitals. And it's not this like taboo thing. It's like, hi, this is my body, get to know it. Like, I'm, you know, I have these parts, boys have this parts. Like, yeah, it's not weird. It's actually, it's something that you have to know, otherwise you just get disconnected from your body and then yourself, essentially.
And our parents and society make it weird.
Exactly.
And that's when the shame starts getting placed on it in regards to like your own
And it's huge, you know. It has enormous impact on women not having orgasms, on low libido, on painful sex, on the guilt, the shame, the embarrassment, not asking for what we want. So many different things.
Yeah.
So when you walked into this journey, what kind of expectation did you have?
Well, Anne thought he was going to get a lot more sex.
Yeah, it's like I first needed to like, how do you say it, like, make it more something concrete, you know, like it was very fuzzy, like my sexuality. It was like, okay, what's going to give me a rush this time, you know? And like throughout the journey, like it has become more of a, you know, like a structure. Like you can actually see the every single facet of it and understand it and through it yourself. But we walked into this because like if sex is not good in the relationship, the relationship starts effing out like really badly. Like we used to fight about the smallest things just because like we were not getting sexually fulfilled. Like
yeah
but that's the thing, when sex isn't working and we're not having fulfilling sex, every other part of our relationship is impacted.
Yeah. Because
that's often the space of intimacy.
Yeah.
And when we don't have that intimacy, we don't have a space to talk about other things.
Mm. Yeah.
And it's huge, and people don't realize that. But the interesting thing is, when we're not having sex, we think often that we're looking for sex, but we're often looking for intimacy and sensuality.
Yeah.
We just think that sex is the path to get there.
Yeah, yeah.
Instead of learning about sensuality and sensual connections, which you guys did.
Mm-mm.
And what was the impact of that?
Well, because I had such an active sex drive, in the beginning, what Kellen used to do, like, well, just later on when she started feeling more comfortable, is when I started getting like a bit too handsy or too grabby, she would just like quickly get me off. And even though you'd think that would be like, oh yeah, now I'm feeling good, you don't feel good afterwards. You don't feel close to her. You don't feel fulfilled or intimate or
like, it wasn't just, we had to realize that it wasn't just about sex. It wasn't just about this unfulfilling orgasm that everyone just rushes toward, you know. It's like, it's absolute, it's more,
it's the journey towards that.
Yeah, orgasm. It's the it's not about orgasm, because even if you are getting the orgasm, it's still unfulfilling. And so, like, we had to figure out what was missing. What is this emptiness or this lack that both of us were feeling? And it was interesting. Well, in my journey specifically, I found that even though I think I said this already, but even though Anae and I were going into this together, there was so much work that I had to do on a personal level that he couldn't help me with, that I had to break through, that I had to get over, I had to get my mind out of this funk that it was in and actually, like, be real. And I could be like, this is what I need from you. Like, this is what...
And that is the biggest thing, is that connection when being real, when being vulnerable, and when being, like, asking for... like the small things, you know. As soon as that partner like says, like, no problem, man, then you feel like accepted, you feel loved, you feel warm.
Because most of the time we don't even realize that that's actually what we're looking for.
We don't. And it's the small little sensual things often that make such a difference. And we have enormous fear of rejection, of embarrassment, for asking for what it is that we want. So a quick diversion. A gold star is someone who is the perfect idea of their sexual orientation, gender identity, etc. Something like that, like gold star lesbians. It's a good guess, but it's far away.
It's got to do with something else, guys.
But what you said there is important. And the way that I've come to understand it is that you can't fix a relationship, really. I can change something in me. You can shift something in you. Then what's between us can change. So what we're bringing to our relationship is simply ourselves.
Exactly.
And in that, I need to do my own work, my own healing, my own growth, my own learning of myself. You need to do that. Then something between us can change. So it very much becomes your journey and your journey. And then there's your journey together.
Exactly.
That concept of the journey together is actually such a powerful concept, because when you actually start structuring your relationship like you would like to structure your own life, something unique and powerful starts happening from that. It's almost like a force, like a it's like creating something completely new, like a third entity, you know. And it supports the individual, and it like helps the individual, and it's a really beautiful thing.
Again, it's this organic growth of what you're bringing constantly to expand the relationship, and what the relationship is giving you on your own.
It's really beautiful.
And that's where we see that so much of it is not only about sex.
A lot of it is not about sex.
And bringing those beliefs. But then we start getting into the higher places of sex, and that's where it really starts. But you can only do that when the foundation
There's a lot of, like, even though we've only been on, I mean, when did we start this?
We started this a year ago. Not even. With you, like, Jonty, because we first August. Had another tantra teacher, which we weren't feeling comfortable with. So we only started with you in July. That's 7 months ago. And I mean, the journey and the growth that we've gone through because of that has been exponential.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Thank you.
It really has. Like, wow. Like, we've learned so much about ourselves and each other. And
so what have you learned about you, firstly, Callum?
Well, so a lot of it that's been coming up in the last couple of months has been this whole, like, who am I as a woman in this world? Because, so, I know we spoke about this the other day, but there was this amazing philosopher, and it just really stuck with me. She's a French philosopher, and she said something about how, as women today, we haven't really been given the opportunity to define ourselves as women, as the feminine, because we were suppressed in this way by men. And I'm not man-hating or anything, but it, yeah. And so men got to define themselves, and then women just had to be the opposite of what men were. And then also on top of that, we had this, I had a family, well, shame, it's not my family's fault. It's also just what they have been taught. But we were told that this is what girls do, this is what boys do. Girls wear pink, boys wear blue, blah, blah, blah. So what this has really done for me was just to, like, say, like, but I don't fit into any of this. Like, as women, I think when it comes to our sexuality, we're either prudes or we're sluts. And then there's, like, no in between. And if you do, then, oh, you're, like, a sexual deviant or whatever. And it's like, but I don't identify with any of that. I don't feel that that is who I am. Or, yeah, so a lot of it has been self-discovery. It's just like, yeah, I'm allowed to be sexual. Like, it's beautiful and it makes me feel good. And it has this creative energy to it. And it's like,
yeah. You can be sexual in any way that you like.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
The way that you're sexual today doesn't necessarily have to be the way that you're sexual
tomorrow. And that's okay. Like, I'm not going crazy or whatever. It's just like, it's changing. I'm learning and I'm discovering. And it's like, I've got so much to discover, because a lot of my life, my sexuality has been suppressed. And I think a lot of women actually go through it as one still. Like, I mean, how old am I? 26. So, like, I'm so glad that I've figured this out sort of now, and not when I'm, like, an older woman who has lived this whole long life feeling this lack and this emptiness, and no one can understand why. And as soon as, and also, like, it's been amazing with my partner that I have, because he's also given me that room to do it. He hasn't said, like, no, I don't accept this, because he couldn't get his mind around it. He actually was like, wow, okay, well, I don't know, how have you felt? Like,
no, I've definitely felt the same way in regards to that, because like I say, my whole sexual journey was defining what my sexuality was. I've been so oversaturated with this concept called sex, which in fact is just pornography or smut. But, like, learning what it is and learning that being held is just going to give me just as much comfort and just as much love and just as much fulfillment as what, like, getting horny at a sudden and starting to go down one, like, I call it the porn hole. It's basically going to, like, worse and worse and worse things, just trying to feel something in regards to
you
that.
Need more and more extreme before that.
It's like a drug. It starts, like they say, it's like when you masturbate, only one of the chemicals gets released, but when you have sex, like, the two chemicals that gets released starts actually balancing and working in harmony with one another, not putting your system out of, like,
whack.
What do you call it? Out of whack, like oversaturating it to the point where you start becoming numb to it.
You know what's amazing about this is that you guys are young, and the incredible thing about this is that not a lot of young people will undertake this kind of journey. From the point, firstly, of not being aware of a lot of the issues, or thinking that they're going to go away by themselves, they're going to kind of solve themselves.
Grow it,
but we don't.
And it sticks.
In fact, they get worse. And that's why so many people get to a point where relationships end because of issues like this, because they haven't done this. And part of that is that we're not taught to be good lovers or have good relationships. And not only the sexual side, but how to communicate what love is, what intimacy is. How do we expand? How do we grow? In that. So we get to a point of often of crisis, and sometimes you can't come back from that.
Yeah, and that's really sad, actually.
Because that makes an enormous difference.
Yeah, definitely.
But I think, like, a lot of these roadblocks are placed on our past in order to learn. And because all of us think that we have to be in a relationship to be fulfilled, when we have that relationship and then we still aren't fulfilled because of a sexual lack or because of whatever lack, that is the chance of you like learning what it is that life is actually trying to teach you. And it is trying to teach you every little stumble, every little roadblock, every little thing that like doesn't resonate with you is trying to show you that there is something that will.
Yeah. One of the other things that I definitely learned on this journey is that we're so quick to blame the other person for, oh, you made me feel this. And it's like, but what? How can someone else make you feel something? They might have done something that caused you to feel that, but like, it's not their fault. Like, this is something that's being triggered in you and that's causing this like feelings or this emotion.
The feeling is yours.
Yeah, exactly.
They're the trigger for it.
Yeah, exactly.
But the feeling is yours. So you owning your own anger, whatever on aid triggers your anger, but the anger is yours.
And like, I also, I can't keep blaming my partner for all the shit that I do all
you
the time.
Do a lot of shit.
And it's like, you have to take ownership of that, because then you can say like, wow, I really don't want to be this person. So how do I change that? How do I react differently in this situation? And
but there's a big thing with that that says we have the idea or the expectation that as soon as we're in this relationship, everything's going to be fine.
Oh gosh, no.
And then, they're happy ever after.
And then if we could just change our partner, or if they would just do something different, instead of saying, well, this is a journey and an adventure. And some of it, to be blunt, is going to be fucking uncomfortable.
It's
not all going to be happy.
No, not at all.
But amazing opportunity exists from that. And that's really interesting. There's a cool message here. Such an interesting topic today. I was married for 17 years and the sexual communication is very absent. And try as I may, my ex would never want to talk about it. I've subsequently been in a relationship with an amazing woman. Right from the start, we discarded all insecurities by being completely open about likes, dislikes, and being unabashedly honest about everything. We have a fantastic sex life and a connection with each other that is unparalleled to another relationship either of us have been in. Thanks
That's
for the
amazing.
Show, and have a great weekend.
Aww.
You guys are inspiring.
Yay!
Never knew.
Yeah, never knew. That's amazing. Wow. Yeah.
True.
But it's about possibility.
Yeah.
Life is short enough. You know, you need to like live it to the fullest.
Yeah.
Like the realest you, the purest you. You know?
Yeah. Like, there's nothing to lose. Like,
there really
you're
isn't.
Just going to discover
but
so much.
That's all the judgment.
Yeah.
The idea we've put on is that if a relationship doesn't work, it's a failure.
Yeah.
And therefore, there's enormous fear of losing that because of what it means.
Yeah.
And essentially, no relationship is a failure if it doesn't last.
It
doesn't last.
And that's all. And sometimes there's a point to that. We come together for a certain time. We share something. There's learning, there's growth, there's experience. And then there's the next.
Yeah.
And the next.
Yeah.
And this idea of forever after, that's a wonderful idea. And it certainly can be.
It's a Disney movie.
But it's not for everybody, and it's not for every relationship.
Definitely not. Yeah.
And we just kind of cling to this. You know, it's this religious idea.
Yeah.
Very, very much.
Yeah.
And your relationship, if it doesn't last, has not failed.
No.
If you're doing the same thing five times in a row.
Yeah, and learning nothing from it. Then
yes.
You failed.
But for the rest of it, no. It's this learning and experience of sharing. And if that was amazing and beautiful, then sometimes that's it.
Yeah, exactly. And then take that with you. That's part of your journey. You've learned something. You've either learned what you do want or what you don't want, essentially.
Yeah, and it becomes a part of you.
Yeah.
That you can then bring to your next relationship or just like...
Yeah.
And that's all. And it's beautiful.
Though. Yeah.
Because when we can step out of that fear, we can step into possibility.
Yeah.
So fear is a contractive. It puts us in the space of, I can't say this because of what he or she is going to say.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't tell him or her what I really want sexually because of what they're going to say.
Yeah.
I can't express my anger or my irritation or my frustration or whatever because of what they're going to say.
Mm-mm.
And all that happens is we just sit with that inside of ourselves.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's like that whole fear-based like thing. It's like, oh, I don't want to say this because I'm scared that this person's going to be upset. Or
yes, but if he does get upset, then maybe that's not the right person for you. If you constantly, like, if every single time you would like to talk about intimacy or you'd like to talk about sex
or
and
change.
He's just constantly putting you down, then that's a big sign of, like, maybe that person is not right for you.
Yeah.
And that's all.
Yeah, and that's
if you
all.
You want to grow and that person does it, like Jonty always says.
And that's the thing, you know, I say to people who walk in with relationship issues and I say, I'm not here to fix your relationship.
No, yeah.
And I'm here to help you be happier.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever that is. And if that's together, that's fantastic. And if it's not, then
that's great. Yeah.
Because then you have a chance to create happiness.
Yeah.
Your partner has the chance to create happiness. And then we're creating happier people.
Exactly, yeah.
But when we're doing things like, we're staying together for the kids. All that you're teaching your kids is not authenticity.
Yeah.
And they learn that love is screaming at each other or throwing a cold shoulder for whatever the wife does wrong.
Yeah.
Because that's our patterning. That's where we
exactly,
come from.
You abuse them even more by staying together, I feel.
Yeah.
Like, my parents were divorced at a very young age.
Yeah,
and
my parents
it did not help me in any effect at all. Like, it showed me that you can have extended families. You can have, like, people that you can call your stepmom and your stepfather. And also, like, to resist, how do you say it? Like, to see a parental figure but also not take it as an authority figure.
Yeah.
It's a very important thing, I think, a lot of kids need to learn.
Yeah. Just because those were our parents, very often we can learn how to do something by seeing how not to.
Yes.
And often that is the patterning we get from families. Is how not to.
Like, I've also realized in this whole journey that even though my mom and dad, like, they're amazing, but they had their faults, but also you kind of, like, realize that, like, they're also just trying their best.
You know,
like, they've never had a child to deal with or whatever, like, they were just surviving and doing their best, and then they had, like, all these kids thrown in the mix or whatever.
Yeah, because nobody teaches us and where do we go to learn about this? And often the places that we go to are very judgmental, they're very limited. You go to, like, a religious figure to learn about sex. With all due respect,
Don't go to your priest to learn about sex.
Because fair chance, they've never had anal sex. So you want advice on...
Well, they have with children.
Or you want advice on how to do anal urination.
Please don't make me do that.
Baby, it's not a fetish yet.
Oh, gosh.
All that you're going to do is get a judgment.
Yeah, exactly.
Not a how-to.
No, because, they don't know. They just don't know. They haven't...
They're a spiritual figure, and we, like, put everything on them.
Yeah.
I would like financial advice from my priest, like insurance, like every type of advice you think he will know, because you think he's talking to a higher power and he's basically relating information to you. He's not Google.
But
guy's like good at spiritual stuff and maybe not even at that.
Yeah.
What's on Google is often very, very,
very
suspect.
False. Mm. Yeah. Mm. But I think, like, in that you should just, if something resonates with you, then great. But if it doesn't, then it doesn't have to be your truth. Like, you need to discover it out for yourself. You need to read or learn or just listen and just take it in and let it come to you. Don't just take what people are saying at face value. Like, don't just take their advice. Because sometimes...
Never take anyone's... Well...
Like that's why I said, if it resonates with you and it makes, and you can say, like, I can accept this, then but you have to really think about it. And if it doesn't, then it doesn't. And that's just okay. It's just not for you. Maybe it resonates with someone else. Great
but
for them.
Also not, don't just place everything with if it fits with you, because a lot of things that are uncomfortable are part of, like, that, cognitive dissonance. When something is challenging your core thoughts of belief, the immediate feeling you have is to push it away. That might not necessarily mean that it's not resonating with you, but because it has such a big impact on what your life is going to go through by making this decision, it will have make a big discomfort in your life that might actually come
the
with
beliefs
through.
And the patterning.
So
there's an idea that I've been working with for a while in my life, and that I've been sharing with people, is that there's an idea that if we can be more in the question than looking for answers, the journey becomes very, very different.
Yeah. Mm.
So we tend to look for answers because the way that our mind works is that's what we want.
Mm. Mm.
And that's comfortable, it's easy.
Yeah, we want facts.
You yeah. know. So one of the worst questions that you can ask is why you do something.
Mm.
Because even if you know why, if, which is a big if,
mm.
that doesn't mean you know how to do it differently or how to change it.
Mm.
Mm. That's what yeah. it becomes and that's what it stays.
Yeah.
So when we can start asking questions and being more in the question, we start to find a different perspective.
Mm.
And then to say that any answer that comes up is simply the piece of a puzzle.
Yeah.
It's yeah. not the whole
thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just one layer.
Yeah.
And very often we want something that's reasonably immediate.
Mm. Mm.
So I ask why I'm doing this, and within a day or so, I need to know this is why I'm doing it. Instead of saying, okay, so I could be different in my relationship, or my relationship could be different.
Mm.
How?
Mm.
And there might not be an immediate answer to that, and mm. it might take time. Mm. Part of that is because of the beliefs that we have are so strong.
Mm. Yeah.
The programming, the patterning, the conditioning.
Mm.
And just because you think that you want something in a relationship or you've always thought it was important doesn't mean that it is.
Mm.
Mm.
And if it is, then yes, you hold on to that.
Yeah.
Because if that's your thing, then that's your thing. You do that.
Yeah.
If this is important for you, this is important mm. for
yeah.
you. But just simply to question it, to say, if for 26 years I've thought this is important,
mm.
is it important?
Mm. Yeah.
And if it is, that's it. You yeah. hold on to that. You yeah. fight for that.
Yeah.
You should ask yourself, will I have my happily ever after if I finally get what I've always been looking
yeah.
for?
And if
yeah,
you do, yeah. then yes.
Then yeah. go for it.
Absolutely.
But yeah. most of the time, no.
It's but not. Yeah.
Ask the question.
Yeah, exactly.
To say, is this important?
Mm. Yeah.
So touch is really important for me, to be with mm. a tactile, sensual person.
Yeah.
And I'm a beautifully sensual and tactile, my partner.
Mm.
If it's important, then yes, that's what I want.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm. Yeah.
And that's all.
Mm.
So what was one thing that you learned that was really important to you?
Well, you want to go first?
Not to be judged. Huh. I think it's one of the most important factors of a relationship. Like, whatever you bring to the table, if your partner can, like, accept it for who you are without having to, like, think that you're a weirdo or a sicko or, like, some kind of number.
like anal urination.
Yeah.
I don't want to be judged for putting that on the table.
Yeah, no, he puts a lot of things on the table, though.
Yes, but I always, like, things need to be discussed and things need to, like, be questioned, you know?
Yeah.
Like, really get the question. Like,
yeah.
My sexuality is still not defined. Like, I like to, yeah.
It's yeah.
part by part, piece by piece.
And I'm going to tell you that for a lot of men, that's a huge issue.
I was thinking about that, and I think it is because most of us have spent close to 80% of our lives being homophobic.
Mm.
We are so scared of gay that we are scared of being gay.
Yeah, mm. but I think that's like the way you were brought up. Because
no, I think maybe everyone...
Like, you were brought up in, like, I mean... And, okay, an Afrikaans community.
Yeah,
and then in an all-boys school where yes. you're, like, mocked for it. So I think maybe that's, like, just the kind of experience that you had. Cause
I don't know, hey? Because I have been meeting a lot of people that is not part of my school friends, like, people from different cultures, like, especially with, like, the work that I do, a lot of African cultures and stuff like that. They completely fear, like... gay people, and also especially like it in themselves, because they do not want to become what they hate.
Yeah, but they also, like, I don't know, like, I think, like, different cultures and stuff, there's like I think it's also the way that, like, different cultures and different communities look at it mm. and, like, what they've been taught. So
And for a lot of men, emotionally and sexually, that's a huge thing. Sexually, for putting my desires, my fantasies, my likes, my dislikes on the table, it's a huge thing. But emotionally, for a lot of men, to share their dreams, to share their vulnerabilities, there's enormous fear of being judged in that.
But I think where Anna was going with that was because you're quite a butt guy.
Oh, yes, I'm a bit of a... But a female butt. I mean, there's a big difference between a male butt and a female butt.
Well, in a way, there is. In a way, there's not. And I always say to people that it needs to kind of all be fair, that if you want to stick a finger in her butt, she needs to be able to do that too.
And I completely agree.
So now Callan's blushing just a little bit.
So much. It hasn't happened. It hasn't happened.
No, no. Okay. That's okay. We're keeping it for special occasions.
Oh, gosh.
Time.
I always thought that sounds like wife status. Something.
Yes. You like saying that.
So now you have to answer the same question.
Whoa. What was the question? What have we...
What is important?
Yeah, to you, that you've learned that this is important for me to hold on to.
So I think... I haven't really found anything that I need to hold on to, but I think most of the thing that's really important to me is that space to be allowed to discover this for myself and not also in a way not be judged, but also be told that it's wrong. Because this, you know, sometimes, like you said, like today I'll think something and then tomorrow I'm like, whoa, that was not for me actually. Mm-mm. But it was a thought that popped up. It was just an experience. It was just a thing that I needed to go through. And I think the thing that's very important for me in this in our relationship is that I have that space to do that and not be like, no, you can't do that, or that's not what good girls do, or whatever. Because, yeah, there's a lot of conditioning, Christian conditioning, that I had to break through. Yeah, so I think that was the freedom to just be is something that I...
Yeah, I think that's why a lot of people can't find it in a relationship, is because that other partner doesn't always feel comfortable enough to open up. Like,
What's changed about the way you see your body?
Well, I've always loved my body. I think Callan has gotten a lot of, like, because, I'm on the other edge of the spectrum, but, like, growing up as a Christian, almost a Mormon-like girl.
I was not a Mormon, like,
but still, like, a lot of emphasis was placed on your appearance in regards to sexuality.
Mm.
So I think a lot of it would be more towards you than it would be towards me.
Yeah, well... Like, if you look, well, when I looked at my journey, so, like, I remember when I was younger, like, 13 or so, like, you always get, like, I don't know, like, in school, we'd have, like, you know, you're learning about your sexuality in school and whatever, and then when you, I remember, like, going away, and men would always, like, catcall, like, is that the right way? I don't know, yeah. So then... You like, even though it's something that it's just catcalling, people just, but it starts shaping you as a young girl, because then also you'd get comments that's like, oh, when you're 18, you know, it's like, what does that mean? It's kind of scary because
like, what would this guy do without society to block him from
but exactly. And so it's like my body, like, I was ashamed of it because I'm like, oh, it's going to get me into trouble if I show my legs, because then I, like, my legs aren't free, or if I show my neck, it's like,
so it becomes your fault.
Yeah, or like, you become like, oh, you want to keep this away from the world, and then when you're 18, you're like, oh, now I'm like free for all. Like, it's not like this crime anymore to, like, yeah. So, like, I really had to learn to take back my body and to say, like, you know what, I'm okay with this body, like, it's mine, and whatever you're gonna say about it shouldn't affect me, because that's your shit that you need to deal with, and this is mine. And, like, sometimes, like, still today, like, the other day I was in Woolworths and someone was like, oh, diva, and I'm like, what does that mean? Like, looking at me and calling me a diva, it's like I felt like I wanted to just, like, slap that guy in the throat and be like, why are you saying that? Like, why is it okay?
No, this is the internet. Like, yeah. Why are you commenting on my appearance?
Yeah. So I think, like, in my body, I also had to, like, take it back and then say, like, okay, I'm okay with this body. Like, and then also, like, in our relationship, I think that also showed, because now I'm like, oh, look. Like, I feel, you know, like, sexy. You feel sexy and you start feeling like, ooh.
So it's really impacted on the pleasure that you have and that you'll allow.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, allow. That's the key thing. It's because, like, you become so protective over this body that, like, don't touch that. Because it's got this, like, negative connotation. Mm. And then you start taking back your body and you're like, yes, I will allow that. It's safe. It feels good. It's like, and I'm allowed to feel that. I'm not like, you don't have to feel ashamed of your body and, like, the pleasures that it brings. And also the other strange thing that I also noticed was that, like, we were always taught that your body is to pleasure someone else. We're never, yeah, like, you as a man have to like make it. Yeah, or you, if you don't make it, the woman come, you're a bad lover, and vice versa.
Yeah, and your pleasure is his responsibility.
Yeah, and then it's like, well, why can't it be my responsibility? Why is it like, why is my body his to pleasure and vice versa? So that
it's
was
very
also
much that idea of ownership in a way.
Yeah, no, like yeah.
As women, you're conditioned to give yourself to this man.
Yeah.
Your body is his.
Yeah.
He will decide what you do with it, how you do it.
Yeah.
He will share it with in what way.
Yeah.
Instead of you owning it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And if you like complain about it, then it's like this whole ego trip and you're not making him feel like a man. Whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. Except like nothing makes you feel more like a man than a woman like experiencing
owning her sexuality.
Like in front of you. Like.
So the thing is that a lot of men are actually terrified of the fullness of a woman's sexuality because they know that they can't match it, they can't keep up with it, and they can't fully pleasure her.
Yeah, you know, told like us there was a phobia or something like that.
Yeah, it's for most men, I think it's the greatest fantasy and their greatest fear. The fantasy is the sexually free woman because there's nothing she will not do. But the fear is they can't match that. They can't keep up with that. They can't pleasure her.
Why would she be stuck with you if there's all these other...
Yeah.
And female sexual pleasure, until men learn about their own, is so much more powerful. You know, it's always thought that there's this interesting idea that men tend towards non-monogamy more than women. Biologically, it's actually just the opposite. Because once a man has had an orgasm and ejaculation, sexually he's done.
Yeah.
And for a woman, often that's just the beginning. So how many more orgasms can she have? How much more sex does she want? How many more lovers
can she have?
Absolutely, in any given moment, to reach that pleasure. So when a man starts to learn about that and controlling and moving his sexual energy, which is something that we've talked about quite a lot, it really shifts things.
Yeah.
So what do those kind of conversations have? What impact did they have for you?
The conversations about the moving of the energy?
Yeah.
Well, that's where it goes deep into our spiritual realm. Because, yes, everything is in... Everything is energy, and like I like to think that our personality is based on 7 specific dials on our nervous system, and you can activate and tune those dials with your intentions and with this energy that starts moving throughout you. And sexual energy is actually by far the most powerful energy. So to change yourself, to like transmute yourself, you actually have to like be able to understand that, and also to saturate yourself with that energy to be able to move it and make it free flow.
Yeah, so it's like for fear, for example, if you have this fear, like what is the opposite of that fear, and what would that mean, and what would that look like, and so you start taking that fear and you start saying like, I don't want to have this kind of fear specifically in my sexuality and in my relationship. So how do we transition, how do we transmute that fear into something that is open and excited and free and liberated? And you know, like,
actually
so
simple. Like, if you are constantly fear-based, you're dialing the dial back, you know, making the volume softer. But if you're constantly like challenging that fear and overcoming it, you're starting to show bravery, and you're starting to like amplify that, starting to make it free flow. Like, the energy starts like moving better, starts flowing better, and it starts showing itself in your life.
Yeah, and it like starts permeating because it starts affecting.
I definitely think these dials are placed there, and they. How do you explain? They basically create the situations that you come in to try and challenge you so that you can either fail or overcome. And by tuning those inner gears in your own personal space, life doesn't have to show it to you anymore.
Yeah.
So to me, it almost feels like after starting to work with the energy, life starts making more sense.
Yeah, well, it's like obstacles that you have to overcome instead of like folding in and saying like, oh, I can't deal with this. My life's in ruins. It's like, okay, but like, if you overcame this, what would that mean?
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, what would
and
that do?
Those questions that you ask there are really important. What would this be like without the fear? How could it be? What could be possible? How could I feel? What could I do with that?
Yeah.
Those are the kind of questions that start to shift it.
Oh, it's like the Batman analogy. It's like Batman is the guy without fear. You can reach whatever point you have if you have an extreme in one point of view or another.
I'm a little weirdo.
I know, but...
And what is your body perspective? How's that shifted your pleasure?
So it's been a lot more open, I guess, like... I don't know. how have I been different since?
How have you been different?
Yeah.
Sure. It's quite present. You're much more present. I feel like before she started like experiencing her own sexuality, she would see it as a chore. Sex, you know, like she would try and get it over as done with, like she would push it aside till the last minute until like I fucking snapped, you know.
That's a really big thing for a lot of people, is that sex is transactional in a way.
Yes.
In terms of, if I give him sex, there's going to be peace for a couple of days.
Yeah, yeah. It would definitely be like that for three years of our relationship. And then, like, when she started, like, experiencing sex as, like, this beautiful thing in itself, like, it wasn't just me, like, constantly pestering her for sex anymore. She would actually bring it to the table herself, and I would actually get to step back. You know, I would not have to bring it to the table every time. I would not have to poke and, like, constantly try and bring up, like, everything in regards to sex to try and, like, make her snap that, hey, I'm looking for it right now.
You actually have started saying, I actually want sex sometimes.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah,
pleasure.
Now I'm... Now
welcome in us. She's a free goddess. She's like, she...
Yeah.
She is my goddess.
Yeah, I think
bedroom.
That's like how it's changed me most. It's just like this freedom. And I think also like...
It's liberating and it's beautiful.
Yeah, like when you were talking about like, oh, men fear this and men fear women's sexuality. And like as a woman, like... I want to be able to experience that sexual liberation to the fullest. And I'm not looking for someone to meet me in that or match me in that, but actually just support me in that. Mm. And that's it. And just be like, it's good. Like, what? It's amazing. And you go, and I will be here and supporting you in the whole way.
And you throughout ever. Like, whatever you tell me, whatever.
Like, that is what I want. That's it.
And that's a huge thing because of the freedom that it gives you and the impact it has on the expression in every other aspect of your relationship.
Yeah. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's been a beautiful journey.
Yeah. Hmm.
What's been really hard along the way for you to acknowledge about yourself, about your relationship?
And I'm a little bit crazy. like legit.
Listen, there's a wonderful saying that you're my kind of crazy. I wouldn't want to be sane according to the definition of sanity.
Definitely not.
Society is crazy, and to be insane in this insane society is
great. What has been your the most difficult? I think like for me it's been actually facing myself and like saying like this is no one else's fault but yours. And so like I mean, facing your own self and coming to that realization is like, it's one of the most amazing things, but it's also the shittiest thing because it's all you, baby.
It's all you.
You have no one to blame. You have no out. You have to be like, this is me. I have to sit with this. I have to change or I'm going to carry on in the same way. And that realization, I think, was like one of the hardest things I had to come to because it's so easy to blame someone else. It's so easy to say, I didn't receive this. I didn't get this. I didn't get this chance in life. I didn't get this kind of partner in life. I didn't. Yeah. And so facing yourself is probably like one of the hardest things. Yeah. Well, that was for me.
And in that, have you come to like yourself more?
Much, much, much more. Like, definitely.
Like I've come to love Kellen like much more these days because of how open and free she is. Like she is the most authentic person she can be right now. Like 2 years down the line she might even be more authentic. I think like that's how that like some people can be in a marriage and it would just get shittier every year down the line, and some people can be in a marriage and it would just get better and better and better. And I think it's that mindset. It's like,
and I think that's also like the cool thing is like just realizing that like you don't have to stay the same. And neither does your partner. You shouldn't expect them to stay the same. Like, who you are when we met is...
when you have a framework for that, that's where those changes can be.
Yeah.
Because we go into relationships with the expectation that it's going to be the same.
Yeah.
And then something changes because life changes us.
Mm. Yeah.
The experiences we have, the things we read, the things we hear. You know, there's so much information out there. So you start looking at the world differently.
Mm.
You watch a TED talk, starts to
One TED talk,
something inside says, wow, wait a minute, I want something different.
Yeah.
And then we need a framework to be able to do that with each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's amazing because then, like, you're never stagnant. You're constantly growing. And, like, if we've just done this in the last year, like, just imagine when we're, like, 100.
Exactly.
What becomes possible.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Yeah, so I think definitely don't like, if your partner's changing, like, embrace it, learn. It's like,
grow with her.
Yeah.
Like, understand, like, why she's growing the way that she does. And, like, question yourself if that's not maybe a possibility that you could grow in.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but just grow. And don't stunt anyone from doing that, because that's when the shit hits the fan.
Yeah, but often then that comes back to the fear that we have.
Mm. Yeah.
Fear of losing your partner because of your own inadequacy.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
When we stop, when we let go of that, we free ourselves.
Mm.
Yeah.
We really do.
Yeah. Maybe that's a good way to overcome that fear of inadequacy. It's like constantly saying, like, if I overcome my inadequacies, I'd never be able to, like...
Yeah, or your perceived inadequacies.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's it, the perceived inadequacies.
Yeah.
Because it's been said that every issue really comes down to the fact of self-worth and self-esteem and not loving ourselves.
Mm.
Because we're not brought up loving ourselves.
Mm-mm.
We're brought up judging ourselves. We're brought
comparing.
Up to be less than we are.
Mm.
And if we loved ourselves more, we would make some very different choices in life.
Most
in terms of love, in terms of pleasure, in terms of job, in terms of lifestyle, the way we have relationships.
The way you have sex. Yeah.
So for so many people, it's just this kind of hamster rat race, you know?
Yeah.
One this location to the next.
Yeah, this repetitious life. It's very kind of money driven and things driven, and that's where we think we're going to find security instead of, wait a minute, if I love myself, could it be this incredible adventure?
And
who says it has to be whatever way it is?
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's really, really incredible.
Yeah.
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 Well, guys, this has been beautiful. And watching you guys interact is amazing from some of the places that I know that you've been at.
Yeah.
And, you know, walking into my office in tears, in anger, in such frustration with each other.
Mm.
And to see where you are, it's amazing, and I'm really honored to share. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's been really beautiful, and I look forward to sharing so much more.
Thank you.
And I have to say, you guys can both definitely come back.
Yay.
Not everybody gets invited back.
Yay!
So that's really
the anal urination didn't ruin it.
A gold star.
Yes.
A gold star is a gay person who has never had an experience with the opposite gender.
Oh. That's quite cool.
It's interesting. Is there an explanation about the gold star?
That's what it is.
It's a very...
Yeah, well...
They've never had an experience with the opposite gender.
So is the gold star the experience or the person?
The person's called the gold star.
The
person's
the gold
star.
Oh,
the person's called the gold star. Yeah. Okay.
Awesome. Wow.
There you go. That's what a gold star is.
Oh. Nice.
As our society progresses, let's hope there's much more gold stars out there.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people suppress it and then go.
Yeah. So, be interesting then. If anybody knows, what do you call yourself after you've had an experience with the opposite gender? That would be interesting to know. So
the
let
black
us know
star.
There we go. So, that'll be cool.
You went to the dark side.
Yes. Tuesday night, we are doing the first water massage for the year, which you guys are invited to, by
the way. Ooh, those look good.
So,
yeah.
That's happening on Tuesday. The information is on www.eroslife.co.za. Next Tuesday, I'm doing a really cool talk on sexual exploration and awakening the possibilities.
Awesome.
So, information is on the website, eroslife.co.za.
Yeah.
And a really awesome tantric massage course in the next 2 weeks. All
awesome.
The information's there. Visit Eros Life SA YouTube channel. We've got so many new videos and new stuff coming up all the time, which
awesome.
Is really fantastic. And thank you for your emails during the week. I really love to hear from you guys. The impact that we are having, and it really is going around the world, and it's just such an honor to be here and to share with you. And I wish you all so much pleasure.
Yay.
This is CliffCentral.com.